The Comfort That Comes After Loss, written by Vendetta Days and read by Wilfriede 0815. Fandom, Harry Potter. Relationship, Cho Chang / Luna Lovegood. Rating, teen and up audiences. No archive warnings apply. Summary. It was a chance meeting that brought Cho and Luna back into each other's lives 7 months after the end of the war. Cho's family were missing, and Luna was now living in the leaky cauldron. They each had their own burdens to bear. The road to recovery was slow, but not lonely, and Cho was not alone when she had Luna. Cho stared at the missing persons notice board in the leaky cauldron, eyes flitting quickly in search of the photo she had pinned months ago. She sifted through the layers of different-sized parchment and photos, slowly flicking through the stack before pinning it back up and moving on to another stack. Each parchment or photo bore the name and description of the missing person, place where they were last seen, and the name of the one looking for them. Helplessness rose in Cho. She pushed it down and gritted her teeth at a sudden shaking of her chin. Right at the bottom of the fourth stack, she found the photo of her parents and younger sister. She flipped it over, but instead of finding someone else's writing, all she saw was her own familiar cursive. Her shoulder slumped. The bout of helplessness returned in a numbing rush like ice-cold water. She placed the photo at the top of the stack and pinned it onto the board again. It would reach the bottom very soon. The notice board used to be the pub's daily specials board. In the months that followed the fall of Voldemort, people started using it to find their loved ones. It wasn't the first of its kind. Missing persons notice boards had popped up in almost every magical community around the UK since the end of the war. The Ministry had set up a department dedicated to tracking and finding missing witches, wizards, and even muggles. It was run almost exclusively by volunteers, of which Cho was one, and, as with most things following the war, it was overstretched and in need of more help. Cho was hopeful to find her family, as many others were. But 7 months on, and it was a struggle to wake up to no news, knowing that the chances of finding them decreased with each passing day. It didn't help that the list of missing only seemed to get longer than shorter. Cho sighed and walked to the bar where Hannah Abbott was handing a pint to a customer. Hannah smiled sympathetically at Cho and leaned across the bar to clasp her on the shoulder briefly.
I check every time I finish work.
Thanks, Hannah. Cho tried for a smile as she sat on a stool.
Let me fix you a cup of tea.
Cho relaxed her face when Hannah turned away to make tea. The stretch from smiling was as unfamiliar as the expression itself. She looked down at the top of the wooden bar. Hannah had given it a good varnish last week. The wood looked almost as good as new. With a fresh coat of varnish and paint, the leaky cauldron wasn't as grubby as it used to be. Ever since Hannah started working, the pub had become warmer. It was well lit with an extra dozen floating candles and magical globes of light. It was a beacon to the Diagon Alley community.
Here.
A cup of tea appeared in front of Cho.
Drink up, it'll make you feel better.
Cho went to thank Hannah again, only to find she had already made her way down to the other end of the bar. She sipped the tea carefully and sighed as the drink warmed her insides. It didn't dispel the numbness she felt, but at least her hands weren't as cold.
Hello, Cho.
A dreamy voice said from beside her. She startled at seeing Luna Lovegood on the stool to her right, who seemed to have appeared out of thin air.
Luna! God, you scared me. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you heard me.
A frown appeared on Luna's brow.
I was quite noisy when I was settling down.
No, it's all right, replied Cho, examining Luna, then staring at the small pile of books in front of her.
I wasn't paying attention. How are you?
She didn't look all that different from when Cho had last seen her in June. Still, there was something different about Luna. She just could not pinpoint what it was, when her looks hadn't changed much at all. Bright, colorful earrings dangled from her ears. Her dirty blonde hair was still long and straggly. Her skin was just as pale, and maybe even more so now that it was winter. Whatever the difference was, no one had survived the war unchanged.
I'm doing well, replied Luna with a small smile.
Her thin fingers fiddled with the bookmarks on her books. Cho could not remember if it was the same smile she used to see back in Hogwarts. She nodded, turned her cup this way and that, winced when the bottom of the cup scraped against the saucer. She dropped her hands into her lap. She and Luna never spoke much, even in school, but starting conversation was never a problem for Cho.
"You're down early for dinner."
Hannah came over with another tea and placed it in front of Luna. She almost cheered at Hannah for unintentionally saving her from her own awkwardness. It never used to be this hard to talk to someone.
"I wanted a change of scenery when I studied."
Luna craned her head up at the chalkboard behind the bar where the food menu was written in cheery, different colored fonts.
"I'll have the lasagna, please. The one I had last week was lovely."
"One lasagna coming right up."
Hannah turned to Cho.
"Feeling up for anything to eat?"
Cho's stomach rumbled loudly at the mention of food. A heated blush crawled across her face. She looked resolutely up at the menu. She was hungry, but nothing caught her fancy. Not when she missed her Baba's cooking.
"I'll have the same as Luna," Cho said finally.
When Hannah left them again, Luna asked,
"How about you?"
"I'm sorry?
How have you been?"
Cho's gaze dropped to the bar top again as she paused. She licked her lips, suddenly finding them dry, before looking back up. She smiled tensely at Luna.
"I'm fine, thanks for asking."
Luna cocked her head. Her eyes were a piercing pale silver that made Cho want to look away. She cast for something to say to divert Luna's scrutiny.
"I thought you went back to Hogwarts." "I couldn't bear to go back to Hogwarts, not after last year," replied Luna quietly.
Her candidness surprised Cho.
"I'm finishing my sixth year with distance learning, just a core subject. I flew to Hogwarts twice a month to attend the classes, but it is mostly self-study. At the end of the year, I'll consider whether I want to go back for my final year or if I want to continue with distance learning."
Cho nodded. She understood where Luna was coming from. If it was her, she doubted she could go back to Hogwarts after a year of being on the run. She wouldn't be able to sit still long enough to learn anything, especially not now, not when her family was missing.
"I'm not sure if I will go back to Hogwarts next year."
Luna broke off and thanked Hannah when she came back with two plates of food for her and Cho.
"I'm working with Mr. Ollivander part-time at his shop. He's been teaching me all about wands, which is very interesting. It's a shame that we did not learn much about it in Hogwarts."
"It is very advanced magic," commented Cho. In her fifth year, she had researched all possible areas of magic that she could make a career in. Wand lore had been one of them, not that it had interested her. She did learn about how complex it was. It was not merely a stick to be waved, as her ma thought.
"I wonder what a crumplehorn snorkeg would add to the magical properties of a wand."
Cho frowned. The name was familiar, but she didn't know what it was. Luna didn't need nudging to explain what exactly it was. She spent the next hour eating dinner with Luna, and was content to listen and let Luna do most of the talking. Luna flitted from subject to subject, never staying on topic for more than a few minutes, and yet, it did not feel confusing at all. Cho found herself relaxing. Luna's calming tone and manner of speech had that effect on her. It was a lot better than the serious tones and manner she had got used to since the end of the war. They finished their food, and Hannah cleared the empty plates, asked if they wanted more tea, which Cho politely declined. She looked out the window, noticing how dark it was, with a hint of worry.
"I enjoy talking with you, Cho. Will you come by more often?"
"Yes, I think I will," replied Cho with unexpected honesty. "I mean, I'm here often enough to check the..." She cleared her throat to stop herself mentioning the notice board.
"I'll see you around."
The smile on Luna's face was so wide and genuine that Cho stilled at the sight of it. She could not remember the last time someone had smiled at her like that. Cho said a quiet goodbye and left Luna to her evening of study. Cho walked out of the Leaky Cauldron and hurried along the dark streets of London, shoulders hunched and hands deep in her pockets to shield against the January cold. The war had finished, but the feeling of being followed hadn't disappeared. The walk back to her tiny flat from the pub was only 15 minutes and didn't warrant apparition. She walked quicker, nervous to stay out in the dark, even for a short period of time. She distracted herself with thoughts of Luna and the conversation they had in the pub. Other than Hannah, there weren't many people she saw regularly from Hogwarts. Marietta had... Cho swallowed and tried not to think about her best friend. So she thought about what a noggle was and wondered if they did infest mistletoe. Cho caught her reflection in a shop window and stopped abruptly, surprised by the slight smile on her face. Cho shuffled the papers in her hand and slipped them back into the folder. Sadness weighed heavy in her heart as she watched Mrs. Palmer leave the cubicle. Her son and his family were amongst the many missing. Mrs. Palmer came in every week to the ministry for an update, and every week Cho would sit with her for 20 minutes, chatting about how her week had been, but inevitably she would have nothing to update the poor woman. It didn't stop Mrs. Palmer. Despite how sad Cho was after each meeting, she did look forward to seeing the elderly witch.
"You're still here?"
Mr. Abiola popped his head over the partition that separated Cho's cubicle from the others. He was one of two ministry employees that oversaw the whole missing persons department. "I just finished with Mrs. Palmer."
"How is that old bird doing?"
"She's doing well." A resigned sigh left Cho. "She's got more hope than I do."
"None of that now," reprimanded Mr. Abiola firmly. "Sometimes hope is all we have, and we have to stay strong."
Cho nodded and stood up with her armful of folders. "Of course, you're right. I must be more tired than I thought I was."
"It takes a lot out of us," said Mr. Abiola sympathetically. "We all need to decompress. You got someone? A friend you can speak to?"
An image of Luna came to mind, and she smiled. It was nearly 9 o'clock. Luna would already have had dinner by now. It was a Wednesday, a slow day for the pub, so she was probably still downstairs trying to finish her Transfiguration essay, which was due next week. It was late, but Cho wanted to see Luna.
"I'll meet a friend after this."
"Let me take those."
He waved his wand and the folders floated out of Cho's arms. He then made a shooing gesture at her.
"Now head off and meet your friend."
Cho protested that she should help tidy up, but Mr. Abiola was having none of it and threatened to jinx her legs to walk out the door. With a grateful thank you, Cho left the ministry and apparated to Charing Cross Road. The evening chill laced its fingers down Cho's neck from the moment she appeared in a dark alley just off the main road. She shivered inside her thick coat and stuck her hands in her pockets. She started down the street. Thoughts of the warm pub and seeing Luna enticed her into a brisk walk. True to her word, Cho found herself stopping by the Leaky Cauldron after work or volunteering to spend the evening with Luna. She would have dinner too. It was better than going home to her tiny flat and trying to force herself into making food. She passed the darkened window of the bookshop and went to the door of the pub. The bell above the door rang as she entered, and immediately Cho saw Luna turn at the sound, face brightening with a smile at seeing her. Cho could not stop a smile of her own from appearing. It was unexpected, but she had found a friend in Luna Lovegood.
"I didn't expect you to come by,"
said Luna when Cho got closer to her booth, tucked out of the way at the back of the pub.
"I know you finish late on a Wednesday."
Cho took off her coat and shuffled into the seat opposite Luna. She bit off her bottom lip to stop what she wanted to say and instead said,
"I couldn't miss Hannah's Wednesday dinner special."
"The chicken pie was very good today," replied Luna without inflection. Her expression dimmed.
Panic sparked in Cho as Luna started tidying up her textbooks and parchment. She didn't want Luna to go yet. She had just arrived.
"If you don't have anything on, I would love to have company while I ate."
Luna looked up, and Cho was relieved to see the return of a smile, small and tentative as it was.
"I would like that. Let me take this back upstairs, and I'll come back down." "I'll be here."
Cho watched Luna weave by the tables, stopping on her way to speak to a few other regulars before she headed to the staircase that led up to the rooms.
When Luna disappeared up the stairs, she dropped her head to the table and groaned. Why was she like this?
Oh no, what's with you?
Hannah's voice appeared to Cho's left.
Can I have the chicken pie, please?
Asked Cho, ignoring Hannah's question. She sat back up and rubbed her forehead, knowing there was a red spot already. Hannah, who seemed to be used to this, had already moved onto another table. She didn't want chicken pie. What she wanted was a bowl of rice, steamed chicken, and a plate of choy sum. But that wasn't something Hannah could get her at the Leaky Cauldron. She could have gone to Chinatown for it. Only it would not be the same. Not like the way her father used to make it. She also wanted to be able to speak to Luna plainly without hiding behind silly comments and ill-timed humor. In the last month, when she wasn't working, volunteering, or apparating to different parts of the country to find her family, she spent nearly all of her free time with Luna in the Leaky Cauldron. Sometimes she would help Luna study, or they would talk about anything that came to mind. Sometimes they didn't talk at all, content to be in each other's company, with the bustle of the pub to fill the silence in place of their words. Spending time with Luna was the best part of Cho's day. She liked how Luna didn't ask more than she was willing to give, even if she acted hot on some days, cold on others towards Luna. She would open up, then withdraw. It happened enough that she knew it affected Luna, and Cho felt terrible about it. They both had things they weren't ready to share yet. Luna hadn't told her why she was staying in the Leaky Cauldron. She didn't know much about Luna and her family, but she knew that her father was alive. No one chose to be away from family, especially not after the war, without good reason.
Is everything all right?
Asked Luna when she came back. She sat next to Cho instead of opposite her.
Just tired, said Cho truthfully.
She wanted to talk to Luna about her missing family. But whenever she started, the words always got caught in her throat, unwilling to leave her mouth no matter how she tried to force them. To burden Luna with her frustration and fears felt unfair, when all she wanted sometimes was just to be and not think about it all.
You do look tired.
Luna shifted closer to Cho.
Have you been sleeping well?
Not really. Cho leaned heavily against Luna's side, seeking comfort in the solidness of Luna's presence. She stopped herself from resting her head against Luna's shoulder. That seemed too intimate a gesture than Cho could handle. She felt Luna's arm wiggle into the space between her back and the booth. An unexpectedly deep sigh left Cho as Luna's hand came to rest on her hip.
I sleep with the lights dimmed, said Luna lightly.
Too lightly.
I can't sleep in the dark now.
The hand at Cho's hip rubbed calming circles, and she felt her body relax further under Luna's touch. Before Cho could ask further, an owl swooped in from an open window and landed on the table. It held out its leg, and Cho untied the letter. With the letter in her hands, the owl flew off in a flap of wings and feathers. She passed the letter to Luna. It's for you. Luna frowned, and Cho missed the weight of Luna's hand on her waist as she opened the letter. She waited for Luna to finish, the lines on her forehead getting deeper the further down the letter she read. When Luna finished, she folded the letter with deliberate slowness and tucked it back into the envelope. Curiosity burned like a flame inside Cho, which she doused quickly. It wasn't her place to ask Luna if she didn't offer the information first. So, she did the thing Luna did whenever she fell into the silence of her own thoughts. She wrapped her arm around Luna's waist and hoped it was enough. It seemed to work as Luna sank into Cho's embrace, head resting on her shoulder.
Thank you,
was Luna's quiet reply.
What for?
Luna lifted her head and looked up at Cho. The frown was still there, and Cho wanted to smooth it away.
For being here.
There was such honesty in those three words that Cho didn't know how to respond. So she smiled instead.
You've made living in London much easier than I thought it would be,
started Luna. She paused and fiddled with the letter with one hand.
I moved to London in November because I was finding it difficult to forgive my dad for his actions during the war.
She explained how she had been taken on the train back to London for the winter holidays
how the Quibbler had become another mouthpiece for the Death Eater-controlled ministry, and how her father had sold out Harry Potter to save her. I know why he did it. I can't even say if it is something I would not have done. But each time I look at that, it's all I can think about. His act in trying to save me could have changed the course of the war. Harry could have died, because of my father and I, and we would have lost everything.
Jo stayed quiet. Anything she said felt inappropriate right now. In the last month, Jo had learned who exactly Luna Lovegood was, and she was nothing like how her mean schoolmates had made her out to be. There was nothing loony about her at all. Luna faced the world, and by extension Jo, with infinite patience and serenity. She saw that in how Luna handled her father's betrayal. There was no anger as she had told the story, only patience for herself that maybe she would eventually forgive him. Jo could only admire Luna for her strength. She wasn't sure she would have acted the same.
"He asked if I would be home for my birthday next week," said Luna, gaze averted to the table. "I'm not sure if I'm ready to see him yet."
Jo turned to face Luna fully and clasped her hand. "Only you know when you're ready, and just because it's your birthday, it doesn't mean you have to see him." She paused as her mind got stuck on one point. "Wait, is your birthday next week?"
Relief filled Cho when Luna laughed lightly at her. "Cho Chang, I just shared a deeply personal story with you, and the only thing you got out of it was my birthday?"
"No, I heard all of it. I just..."
Cho rubbed the back of her neck as heat creeped up her body. "Was surprised that you hadn't told me about your birthday."
Luna's smile grew bigger, and she rolled her eyes teasingly.
"My birthday's next week on the 13th.
"Oh, all right. I'll make sure I remember," said Jo weakly, her mind worried about whether Luna wanted to celebrate it.
"You're right, though."
"About what?"
"That only I know if I'm ready, and I'm not."
Luna shrugged.
"I think I'll write back and say I need more time."
That solidified Jo's decision to celebrate Luna's birthday. The 13th was a Friday, and she was scheduled to work that day, but she would be free in the evening. She had a whole week to plan what to do for Luna.
"Luna?"
"Yes?"
Jo squeezed Luna's hand. She knew how hard it was to share something like this.
"Thank you for telling me."
Instead of having Luna spend her birthday in the leaky cauldron, Jo invited Luna to her flat with the promise of dinner. It was the first time Jo had felt like cooking. She'd even asked her boss if she could leave early so she could go food shopping on the way home. He was happy to oblige since it was a Friday and she had already done all the filing he had asked. She had rushed off, bought the things she needed and got home in record time to prepare dinner. Except she was regretting her decision to cook. The rice was done, the vegetables steamed, the chashu she brought was reheating in the oven. There was only the dumplings left, which she was frantically folding. She hoped it tasted good. The recipe was from memory, and she only had what her baba taught her 2 summers ago to go by. He never measured the ingredients. It was always a splash of soy sauce, a couple of teaspoons of salt, sugar, and if there was any, a little MSG. Sometimes it was several cloves of garlic, other times it was a whole bulb. The recipe changed every time Cho asked, and still, it tasted the same each time. With the last dumpling folded, Jo stared down at the plate and frowned. Some had too many folds, some had too little. Each dumpling was different instead of uniform. They looked nothing like how her baba made them. Jo jumped at the knock on the door. Her pulse spiked. That would be Luna, and dinner wasn't ready. She went to the door and opened it. On the doorstep was Luna, bundled up tight in a large coat, woolly hat over her head, and scarf wrapped several times around her neck. Her nose was a touch pink from the cold.
"You here?"
Cho stepped back to let Luna in.
"The directions were very hard to follow,"
commented Luna as she began the process of unbundling herself from her coat, scarf, and hat. She hung it all on a peg on the wall and bent down to take off her shoes.
"I think I took a left instead of a right, then a right instead of a left." Jo smiled indulgently as Luna told her about the adventure she took from the leaky cauldron to the flat. For a relatively simple route, Luna had taken several twists and turns and somehow had found herself back at the pub half an hour after she left.
"I think I better walk you home later tonight," said Jo as she led Luna into the kitchen. "Wouldn't want you to get lost on your birthday."
From behind her, Luna hummed in apparent agreement.
"That's probably for the best."
Jo took the wrapped present and card from off the small dining table. She turned around and held it out to Luna.
"Happy birthday."
An undignified squeak escaped Jo when Luna's arms wrapped around her in a surprise hug.
"Thank you."
"You're welcome," replied Jo. She hugged back with one arm. The present and card lodged awkwardly between their bodies. When Luna stepped back, she held the present close to her chest and looked around the kitchen.
"It's not much," Jo gestured at the room, "but it does the job."
Her flat was barely big enough to fit herself. One bathroom, a kitchen, and a bedroom, but the rent was cheap. The landlord hadn't asked for a deposit, nor any questions, and that was what Jo liked about it.
"I think it's lovely," said Luna simply.
Jo thought Luna was being far too gracious about her shoebox-sized flat than warranted.
"Have a seat. Dinner will be ready soon."
She got to work pan-frying the dumplings while Luna hovered behind her, asking questions about the food and why she wasn't using magic to cook.
"I've never used magic to cook before."
At Luna's confused look, Jo elaborated that she was muggle-born and didn't know the first thing about cooking with magic.
"I sooner set the pan on fire than cook anything edible."
By the time the food was ready and on the table, Luna had given her the basics on common household spells and charms, including how to charm the dirty dishes to wash themselves. They were the kind of spells Xenophilius learned after Luna's mother had passed away.
"Everything smells so good."
Luna sat down, eyes roving over the different plates of food on the table. She picked up a fork and speared a dumpling.
"I hope I got the seasoning right," said Jo nervously.
The delighted expression on Luna's face said that it was right. Her large eyes seemed to get wider as she chewed and chewed before swallowing.
"Jo, this is so good. Why is this the first time I'm eating this?"
"Okay, you're exaggerating," replied Jo, even as she grinned. They ate and chatted about Luna's day. While Jo was at work, Luna had spent the day wandering Muggle London and getting thoroughly lost on the tube. Apparently, it was all in the name of magizoology. According to Luna, there was a sighting of the Crumplehorn Snorkeg on the central line between Tottenham Court Road and St. Paul's. Since she was so close, there was really no reason why she shouldn't investigate.
"You haven't eaten any of the dumplings you made," commented Luna when she finished her story on how lovely the London Underground was to color-code their lines.
A shame, though it was, that it added no practical value to the direction of the line.
"Oh, right, I suppose I haven't."
Jo picked up a dumpling and bit into it reluctantly. The flavors burst over her tongue as she chewed slowly. She swallowed and placed the rest of the dumpling into her empty bowl. Objectively, she knew it tasted good. Luna thought it tasted good, and that was all that mattered.
"Jo?"
Luna placed her hand over Cho's wrist.
"Is everything all right?"
"I'm fine." Jo tried smiling, but the muscles in her mouth twitched and wouldn't work properly.
"I'm fine."
Luna didn't look convinced if the crinkle between her eyebrow was any indication.
"You look sad."
Irritation simmered inside Jo at being called out by Luna. The emotion was dangerously close to the surface. She clenched her jaw and tried to breathe, pushing the irritation out with each exhale. What was she going to say? That she was sad over dumplings? That the act of making them without the bustle of her family around her made her inexplicably lonely? Or that the taste came close to how her baba made them, but still it did not taste the same? It was not the same. A small voice that sounded oddly like the sorting hat reminded her that suffering in silence was not the same as solving a problem.
I...
Jo paused and huffed in frustration at her stammer. She focused on Luna's pale hand on her wrist and tried to soak up the warmth of Luna's skin against her own.
Things never seemed to frustrate Luna, not in the way that it would for Cho. Luna was ever patient, and even after a day spent on her feet at Ollivander's, a night of studying, she still had time for Cho. She wanted Luna to know how much she appreciated her patience.
"The dumplings remind me of my family," whispered Cho. "The last time I saw my parents and sister was in August 1997 before I went into hiding. I refused to register as a Muggle-born, so going on the run was the only option. My family's been missing since the end of the war, or, for all I know, it could be longer."
"That's why you check the notice board in the Leaky Cauldron every time you go in," Cho nodded. "Nearly everyone who volunteers at the missing persons department is searching for someone.
Has there ever been any news on where they are?
If there was, do you think I would be here?" Cho shot back angrily. Luna didn't recoil at Cho's anger. Instead, she slid her hand from Cho's wrist and intertwined their fingers, holding onto Cho in an unwavering grip.
"I'm sorry."
Cho ducked her head in shame, feeling repentant for acting the way she did. She never used to have trouble with her temper. It was Luna's birthday, and she had got mad at her. She bit her bottom lip hard and wished that she didn't feel like one push would send her over the edge.
"I'm sorry for getting angry at you. You've been nothing but kind and supportive, and I shouted at you when you're only helping."
She felt Luna's fingers slip beneath her chin, gently coaxing her head back up, so she had no choice but to look Luna in the eyes. She expected indignation. It would be well deserved. She did not expect the tenderness in which Luna looked at her, as if seeing her in pain hurt Luna too. Cho saw it in the way Luna's mouth turned down at the corners, sympathetic sadness in her usually smiling lips.
"I accept your apology," answered Luna. "You don't have to talk about it if you don't want to, but know that I'm here if you need me, just as you've been here for me."
Cho nodded, and for the first time since the end of the war, she breathed easier knowing that Luna was with her. After Luna's birthday, talking only seemed to get easier for Cho. The burden of her missing family didn't feel as crippling when the knowledge of it was shared, even by a little, with Luna. Life would never be the same as it was before the war, but with Luna's help, Cho was slowly coming to terms with that. There were small victories to be celebrated, like Luna getting outstandings in her mock exams, with the exception of an acceptable in Transfiguration.
"It's nothing against Professor McGonagall. I really don't enjoy Transfiguration," explained Luna.
Then there was talk of Cho getting a promotion at work, which came as a surprise. Cho stirred her tea as she read through the information work had given her about the promotion process. She considered her job in the Misuse of Muggle Artifacts office as temporary, nothing glamorous. It gave her a steady income and flexibility to volunteer and look for her family. In all the career research she had done, she had never considered a career where she could bridge the gap between the Muggle and magical worlds. The loud ringing of the landline from the hallway startled Cho. It was nearly 10. No one ever called her on the landline. Dread prickled at the back of her neck. She left her tea in the kitchen and went to the hallway to pick up the phone.
"Hello? Miss Chang."
The voice on the other line was deep and somewhat familiar.
"This is PC Mehta from the Wiltshire Police."
Cho's heart jumped as she remembered the name of the officer who had been assigned to her family's case. She had not expected reporting the missing to the Muggle Police would bear any fruition.
"Yes, do you have any news about my family?"
The line went silent. It felt like an eternity when in reality it was only a few seconds. But that was all it took for Cho to sink to her knees. She didn't need to hear PC Mehta's words to know her worst fear had been realized. Cho hung up the phone in a daze and stared at the wall with unseeing eyes. She didn't know how long she knelt on the thin carpet of her hallway. She didn't know when she put on shoes, if she had locked the door, or when she had even left her flat. The next thing she knew with certainty was the sight of the brass number on the outside of Luna's room in the Leaky Cauldron. The door opened and Luna's eyes widened, concern written across her pale face in the lines of a frown. Luna pulled Cho into her arms without thought.
Cho sank into the comfort of Luna's embrace, burying her face into the crook of her neck as the tears spilled and the rattling sob left her lungs. She wasn't sure what she said. The story came out in a jumble of words, sobbed out in between the hot rush of tears, and Luna held onto Cho throughout it all. It was all Cho could do but hold on. She missed her family desperately. Now she would never see them again. Luna made soft shushing sounds, her hand rubbing up and down Cho's back in a soothing gesture that only made the tears fall faster. At some point, they had moved onto the bed, Luna's back against the headboard, Cho tucked in between her legs as she cried into Luna's shoulder. It felt like an interminable amount of time passed before Cho lifted her head. She shifted backwards and rubbed her eyes against her arm, hiding her embarrassment. "I'm sorry."
"Don't be," said Luna quietly.
She reached out and held onto Cho's hand. "It hurts to see you in so much pain, and it sounds selfish, especially right now, but I'm glad you told me."
Cho brushed her face with her free hand again. In the candlelit room, she saw the skin on Luna's neck was wet from her tears. She crawled off the bed and went to the bathroom for some tissues, which she offered to Luna shyly as she sat back down. They sat side by side against the headboard without talking. The occasional shaking breath and hiccup from Cho were the only sounds to disturb the quietness of the room. Luna's side was pressed against Cho's in a silent declaration of support.
"I got home after Hogwarts."
Cho trailed off and blinked furiously. Her eyes were red and dry, but they still burned with the threat of tears.
"There was nothing left. It was all gone. I shouldn't have gone into hiding. I thought if I left, then they would be safe, but it was all for nothing. If I stayed, at least I could have fought, and maybe I could have saved them."
The memory of her parents and her sister standing by the front door of the house rose unbidden. It was the last time she had seen them.
"I ran away, and it's all my fault they died. No."
Luna held Cho's face between her hands, a determined look on her face.
"You mustn't think that. You did what you did because you loved them and thought it would save them. It is not your fault, do you understand?"
Cho stared at Luna in awe, breathless at the ferocity in Luna's eyes, speechless from the strength of Luna's words. The tension that kept Luna's shoulders hunched deflated, and worry seeped back into her expression. Her thumbs gently brushed the tear tracks from Cho's face.
"Don't shoulder the blame when the ones to blame are Voldemort and his Death Eaters. Please?"
Cho swallowed down the lump in her throat and jerked her head in a nod.
"Good."
Luna's eyes roved over Cho's face. Her hands dropped back into her lap.
"You know, you were always nice to me back in school."
"We didn't talk in school," said Cho. There was that small, mysterious smile again, the one that Cho didn't know how to decipher, not that she thought she could.
"No, I suppose we didn't."
Luna leans back against the headboard with a faraway look in her misty eyes.
"There was once, in my 5th year, when I overheard you threatening to jinx some students for stealing. Later that day, I found my missing textbooks and clothes on my bed."
Cho frowned, and the corners of her eyes creased as she tried to remember the memory.
"After that day, people stopped hiding my things."
"I don't remember," confessed Cho, distressed that she had no recollection of a memory that seemed to be so important to Luna. Luna turned to her with a tremulous smile, eyes shimmering in the light like quicksilver. She reached out and brushed the hair that had fallen across Cho's face.
"It's all right if you don't."
"Can I stay with you tonight?" asked Cho quietly. The thought of returning to her flat and being alone was unbearable.
"Yes."
Luna shifted down the bed and got under the covers. She waved her wand and the candles around the room dimmed but did not go out. Cho slipped underneath and exhaled a shuddering breath when Luna's body pressed firmly against her back. Luna's breath tickled the fine hairs on the back of her neck and washed over the skin like the tide on the beach. Soft lips kissed the curve of Cho's neck. She went to turn, but was stopped by Luna's hand on her arm.
"Sleep. I'll be here in the morning."
She closed her eyes and eventually fell asleep, wrapped up and cocooned in the safety of Luna's arms. Cho blinked awake, and the room slowly came back into focus. Her eyes felt swollen and dry from crying the night before. The morning light filtered in through the thin curtains and lit the room in weak winter grays. Sometime during the night, the candles had burned out. Luna's right arm was still around her waist, fingers gripping Cho's t-shirt loosely. She craned her head behind her and carefully turned around to face Luna. Luna looked peaceful in her sleep, face relaxed, breathing even, and Cho found herself enraptured by the sight. It didn't feel like Cho had slept much, but she felt rested. A few hours asleep in Luna's arms, and she was more rested than she had been in a long time. She reached out, fingertips caressing Luna's pale cheek. A dip in Luna's brow appeared, and Cho felt sorry for disturbing her sleep. Bleary silvery eyes, accompanied by the grumpiest pout Cho had ever seen, were directed at her, and she couldn't stop the huff of laughter that bubbled up in her.
"Morning," grumbled Luna.
"Morning." Cho smoothed her hand over Luna's hair and rested her palm on her cheek. "You're always so serene. I never thought you would be the type to hate mornings." Luna buried her face into Cho's hand, lips moving against the warm skin of her palm as she replied sleepily,
"I don't hate mornings. I just like them better when you were here."
The breath in Cho's lungs froze. Luna stilled beneath her hand, the sleepiness gone, and her eyes widened with fright. Happiness bloomed in Cho's chest, unfurling like petals of a flower as the weight of Luna's words settled over her like a thick blanket. She shifted closer to Luna and could not stop the smile growing on her face.
"I like them better with you here, too."
"Yeah?" Cho nodded and closed the gap with a kiss on Luna's lips. The end.